We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back. Fourth and final quarter of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Dustin Hawkinsmith, Greg Pickle here. This is Ask Greg. I know we've transitioned into the regular season, which is a breath of fresh air for us here. We did have a bunch of recruiting questions that hung around for a few weeks. Unfortunately, we did have to purge those. We're focused on looking at this football team. We still got some great questions. This segment brought to you by tailgatewine.com, where they've got some awesome Penn State-themed wines for you. Sapphire Blue, Blueberry Wine, 1855 Vidal, an Old Main Pinot Grigio. And I'd like to announce that you can get all those tailgate wines at all four Brewski locations in State College. So if you're in town for a game or you're just visiting State College, you can find your tailgate wine at any of those four convenient spots at the Days Inn on Pugh Street, 222 Beaver Avenue, South Atherton near the Super 8, and on Cato Avenue at the Nittany Budget Motel.
Love it.
I didn't know where any of those things were, but now you know. Now you know you can get your tailgate wine there. Let's get into some questions, Greg. Bill from Philadelphia. With a number of true freshmen playing Saturday that appear in the two deep, how many would you expect to burn their redshirt after four games?
Definitely the eight that played. There's no question. Well, I don't know. I mean, Nick Tarburton played, looked incredibly overmatched, so they may dial that decision back. But if they're going to have injuries like Shane Simmons out, they may not be have the choice. So I would say seven is the minimum, with probably eight or nine being the maximum barring injury. I was surprised that we heard so much about Jahan Dotson during the lead-up of the game, and then we didn't see him on the field once, so that was interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting. I mean, I felt like they made a commitment, and Franklin talked about this before, that they were going to play guys in the early home games and evaluate what they got going on. For Dotson not to crack that was interesting. James from Midland. The running game seemed to be way better than the passing game. Do you think it was just an off day for McSorley and the receivers, or is this maybe the new way defenses will attack Penn State, aka by trying to take away the passing game?
Well, that's a good question.
Fair question, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think that maybe that'll be the case. I think that the way Penn State's offense is set up, that people forget about the RPO concepts and all that, and the fact that they go to the line of scrimmage with potentially two play calls, and one of them is a run, one of them's a pass, and then they do what the defense tells them to do. So I don't know if you can really take away the run game, but or the pass game. I mean, I know we saw teams run directly at Saquon Barkley last year. We're not going to see that again this year. But I just don't know if you can take it away, and it's I don't think it's as simplistic as that.
Yeah, I think this is the essence of what Penn State needs to accomplish this year, and really, like, if you've got if you are running six deep with wide receivers and you're in sync with those wide receivers, there's not a whole lot you can do to take away the passing game, including generating more of a pass rush when they get the ball out quick. So I think this is all in Penn State. If they're executing the way that they should, I don't think there's such a thing as taking away the passing game. But it's about reestablishing an identity, and they just weren't really ready to do that against App State. Mike from Lake Winola, PA, said reviewing the game film, something jumped out to him. While they may not be the best or most talented, Penn State's best linebacker Saturday were Jan Johnson, Micah Parsons, and Jarvis Miller. Jarvis Miller, by the way, we didn't touch on him earlier much.
Yeah, that was
a
mistake by me. Absolutely.
Yeah, he looked really good. Mike said their known commodity, Koa Farmer, looked lost and couldn't tackle. Any chance we see this position go younger in exchange for the athleticism, tackling pop on the outside more often?
How about the missed tackles? That felt like it was something that we've seen a lot of before, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was not good. Needs to be shored up for sure. You know, I think a couple of things here. I think that Farmer definitely was a scapegoat of the linebacker unit. Whether that's fair or not, is up for determination. But, yeah, Mike is going to pass him at some point this year. I feel pretty confident in saying that. As it relates to Jan, I don't know, man. Like we talked about it before, he looked at times okay, and there were other times he looked confused. He was talking about something that he was having a hard time lining the defense up because it was loud. It's your job. What do you think it's going to be when you go to Pitt, when you go to Michigan? If you can't line your defense up at home, that's just it's a bit of a problem, even though obviously those places will be a little bit more quiet potentially. You're still in a hostile environment that is going to throw you off your game. So I guess my point is that if you can be thrown off your game at home, you're probably going to be thrown off your game just about anywhere. So that was disconcerting. They may have a problem with simply lining up the defense moving forward, let alone, you know, whatever you want to pick about Koa Farmer.
Sylvester wants to know, kind of a similar question to the burning of the red shirt for freshmen. How many players are on the travel roster based on the snaps played against App State? Which young players, freshmen, do you think will be on the travel roster for Pitt? As always, keep up the great work. That's first and foremost, keep up the great work.
Yeah, right? Sure. Well, so the travel roster thing's interesting because, you know, you can take, especially when you get the Big Ten play, you can take four extra guys now, which is huge. As it relates to how many players are on the travel roster, well, I mean, it's 74 in Big Ten play. I forget how non-conference work, but it's definitely an expanded number. You might be able to take closer to 80 for non-conference games. I don't remember. We'll try and get an answer on that. But in terms of young players and freshmen, I mean, I think, again, that you're talking about the eight guys who played on Saturday. I think Dodson will travel. And, you know, that's probably your group moving forward.
Scott from Arlington, Virginia raises an interesting question about Appalachian State and Penn State getting a lot of national coverage. They're Appalachian State, known as the FCS team who beat Michigan in 2007. But in this edition of the team is getting more votes in the coaches poll than Iowa, Louisville, and Pitt. If it weren't for App State's reputation as a giant slayer, would it be getting all this national coverage for Penn State going down to the wire with it? In other words, Pitt's a bad example too, but if this were Louisville or somebody, would it be getting this kind of coverage?
Yeah, it's a fair question. I don't think it would. I don't think it would if it was 2 weeks from now against Kent State, quite honestly. So, no, I don't. I think that this is obviously one that a lot of people follow closely because, as you mentioned earlier, Justin, everyone knows the history of this App State team, what they've done, how they've scared teams in the past, and that makes people pay attention from a bigger standpoint than if it was just a normal run-of-the-mill opener against Akron or Idaho or some other FCS or low-level FBS program.
You're listening to the Keystone Kickoff Show. This is Ask Greg, where we're firing off your questions for Greg Pickle. Didn't mention it earlier, but you can ask Greg questions by downloading the Keystone Sports app. I think, feel like you should have it by now. There's a button to ask Greg. You can fire off any questions. The winner, the best question as determined by our own Greg Pickle, is going to get a bottle of Tailgate Wine. This segment, of course, sponsored by tailgatewine.com, where you can get it at all their brewskis locations in State College, tailgatewine.com. Let's see. David from Lakewood Ranch, Florida, with Justin Shorter in a boot. His much anticipated debut is going to be later than many fans expected. If it were up to you, would you want to get him some actual game experience early to work on his routes and timing, or keep him out until Big Ten play to keep them from being able to game plan against him?
Wow, that's a good question. You know, you look at Justin Shorter down on the sideline, and Penn State was able to not have him in action. I mean, I think the biggest disappointment to me is that you really would love – I don't think you need to get the routes and the timing. James Franklin said he was on a roll during practice before he got hurt. I don't think that's a problem. They need to get him on the field. You know, if DeAndre Tompkins is going to continue to go catchless, if you're going to keep rotating nine receivers against the defense out there, you'd be better served to get Justin Shorter in the rotation. So we'll see. Just to double back on that, our man Jim looked it up, 75 on the travel roster for Penn State in non-conference play. So we'll see how all that plays out. Big Ten 70-74. So we'll see. I think the line, again, I still think you're looking at eight freshmen that travel, but they may take a couple guys with them just to give them the experience.
So I got a hot take for Justin Shorter.
Ooh. Let me back up.
Your offense is going to be better. Now get this, with a 6'4", 220-pound freak on the field. That's my take.
Very steamy.
Yeah. Take it to the bank, buddy.
I will.
All right. Here's one, really an existential question from Ben here from Oshkosh, Wisconsin. If Trace McSorley, Tommy Stevens, and Sean Clifford all came in at the same time, the same year, who would have been Penn State's starter?
Wow. I don't know. Trace, he outperformed Tommy.
It's really hard to bet McSorley at this point.
Yeah, I mean, come on. All he does is win, and I mean – if you're looking back to see what, you know, what could happen 3 years ago, you know, I don't know. I'm not a genius, but I do think that if you have to pick Trace, knowing what you know, and even knowing what you knew back then, it probably would have been Trace.
You may or may not be a genius, Greg, but you will always be our special boy here. All right. Don't forget that.
Thank you.
Kurt from Mechanicsburg. I don't know if I agree with the essence of the question, but it's worth bringing up his name anyway. If Michael Mennett struggles at center and they move Connor McGovern back there, do they move Mennett somewhere else in line, or they shift someone else to replace McGovern and bench Mennett? I think this is moot because Michael Mennett sure looks like he belongs out there.
Yes, he does, and they will just flip them if they have to. So if Mennett ends up not cutting it at center in the staff's eyes, they will put McGovern back at center and put Mennett at right guard.
And I think that's one area where Penn State has a chance to really develop a strength is right up the middle there.
Yeah.
But I didn't watch a lot of the nuance of the O-line play. I mean, I think you need coaches' film to really break down whose assignment was what and all that kind of thing. But he sure looked like he was fine to me. There wasn't any – you didn't hear his name called.
Yeah.
And that's usually a good thing.
Agreed.
John from Defiance, Ohio. Hi, Greg. We know Ronnie will be using a Moorhead-style offense. Do you think he will evolve this style offense into something even better? And what might his signature improvement be?
I think there's a lot of misunderstanding about what this offense is. It's a spread offense that takes what the defense gives you. So, number one, there's a lot of people out there that are thinking, oh, Penn State's offense stinks, it's terrible, yada, yada, yada. They scored 38 points in regulation. I mean, come on. They scored 45 to win the game. I don't understand what people want from this offense. It's almost like if they don't score every play, every series.
I'm telling you, I feel like with this offense, really with any team's offense, if you go three or four drives without getting stringing much together,
it's time to change the coordinator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In reality, in a 60-minute game, that's going to happen more often than not.
Absolutely. So I think everyone just needs to take a deep breath there. As to what he'll do to change it, I think you'll see him be more aggressive late in games when Penn State has a lead.
And I think what you saw in overtime where they just pounded it with Miles Sanders four straight times.
Yep.
Well, it was four, right?
I
think you're going to see a little bit more of that going forward. I think that's going to end up being a bread and butter component.
Yep.
And not that Saquon Barkley wasn't that, but if the line's going to get a push and you're going to create some creases, they have the backs who can get through them.
Yep.
I think instead of picking another question, Greg, I think you need to pick out who the winner was.
Yeah, this was a good week. Everyone's all wound up after the first game and the fact that it was closer than expected, yada, yada, yada. Looking over our list of questions this week, I'm going to go with that last one there, John from Defiance, Ohio.
John from Defiance.
I thought that was a good question, and I think a lot of people are worried about Penn State's offense. I don't really understand why that is the case, but Dustin, at the end of the day, there are people a little bit concerned. I think everything will play out just fine.
John, be on the lookout for some communication from our team here, and congratulations. You got a bottle of tailgate wine coming your way. Thanks for tuning in this week, and thanks for tuning in as always. You can check us out at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com and on the Keystone Sports app. Hey Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon, stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
Hey, Dustin Hockensmith here from the Keystone Sports Network. I wanted to share my own firsthand experience using 409 tailgate sauce. It's a product you hear about often on the Keystone Kickoff Show. This is not an advertisement. It is a fact. 409 tailgate sauce is different from every barbecue sauce I have ever bought. It's not that thick, syrupy, artificial stuff you'll find on grocery store shelves. It's lighter, it's more versatile, and it's good on just about everything. I'd recommend going to 409tailgateclub.com right now. See what I mean, experience that difference, and tailgate with honor.